Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. All with great warranties, so important. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important. Makes a big difference. Big, big difference. No question. In your buying experience. And a terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way. And they're looking for more, by the way. More. Which is great. Because they have that kind of business going right now. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. All right, great to have you with us. We're going to have, I believe, Audrey Snyder's on the show today.
Yes.
And Zach Showers on our roundtable. As we whittle the round table down, which happens at this time of the year. I mean, we're heading into 1 week from today is Thanksgiving. And I hope everybody has a wonderful, beautiful, long holiday weekend. Plenty of shopping on Black Friday and so forth. I'll be a little busy. At least that's the plan. Plan is I'm going to be a little busy. Okay. Because I'll actually be on the air on Thanksgiving Day because I will be doing Penn State basketball. And that will be down in Orlando, which will be then followed by a plane later in the day. Somebody asked me today if I was going to be, they said, where are you going to eat your Thanksgiving meal? I said, gee, that's a good question. They said, you're going to eat in Orlando. I said, no, actually, I probably will have something in Detroit that night. So I'm supposed to get into Detroit at 6:30. So, I mean, I probably will get whatever it is. And that depends on some, and everything may be closed at that point. Maybe I'll grab a sandwich someplace. So I probably won't get a Thanksgiving dinner when it's all said and done, which is fine. Then do the game at Detroit on Friday, and then get back on the plane and go back down to Orlando on Saturday with the idea of doing another game on Sunday, which obviously, I won't know what time that game starts. Because I won't even know who the opponent is. I mean, and that's just part of the deal. It's just the way it works. I mean, when you've done it as many years as I've been fortunate enough to do it, then... You know how it works. You know how to get ready for it. You know how to, I mean, there's just a lot of things that come up that you've already been there, done that, so you know what you're supposed to do with it, and or how to get ready for it. Now, as for the show next week, I'll be here on Monday and then Tuesday. And then Wednesday's show will be in Orlando. And Friday's show is going to be, we'll see. I may be on for half an hour. I might be on for the entire show. It depends on what Penn State basketball does on Thursday, because then they're playing on Friday as well. Joe Putnam's going to fill in for me on that. That's why I arranged to have Joe be the engineer for the games. That way he could double up and fill in for the play-by-play when I'm not there. So, see, there's actually a thought process to this. I know you're shocked by this, that there's a thought process, but there is, actually.
I'm speechless.
I actually came up with a plan, Caleb. I said, okay. I said, where are you? He says, well, I'm in the Bahamas, because he's doing Lady Lion basketball. I said, are you available Thanksgiving Day? He says, yeah. He said, I just have to fly for the Bahamas over. And he's going to get in there at 7:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving. He'll engineer the game on Thursday, engineer the game on Sunday, and he can fill in and do the play-by-play on Friday. So you are stunned. I came up with this all by myself. Oh, goodness gracious. But you do have to have a plan. You don't have a plan, then you are going to get into trouble. No getting around it. That's why you need the plan. Need the plan, no doubt. That will allow me to get... Now, again, what we do in Detroit, I don't know. Because it's going to depend on what they do, because I think one game's at 11 a.m. and the other game is at 1:30? Does that sound right? And it's against either Florida Atlantic, which was in the Final Four last year, or Butler. It just depends on the result of the game Penn State has with Texas A&M. I don't know. So I just sit there and wait. See what the heck they say. You know? Just wait. Not going to worry about it too much, because at that point I got to get out of there. So then somebody says to me, they said, well, what are you going to do about getting out of there? I said, what do you guys think? Should I take a cab? Now, the cab waiting for me at 2 o'clock because my flight's at 3:40, or do I get an Uber that's waiting for me? And Bob Taylor looks over. He says, oh, well, if you do that with Uber, it's going to be expensive. And Dick Girardi and I in unison looked over and said, excuse me, but that's a Learfield expense. I looked at Bob, and I chimed in after that. I said, yeah, Bob, I said, no offense, I'm not paying for it. I said, so it's a little more expensive. Hey, that's the price of getting me to Detroit to do football. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, and that's what so that's next week. This week's easy. And the reason it's easy is that they're both at home. Got a game tomorrow night at 7. We're on at 6:30, and then noon on Saturday on at 10:30. And I know we have the talk show tonight, but this is also This is also what I kid around this time of the year. This is pregame show day. So after practice today, I'll get Mike. That way I'm all set, because shoot-around's during the show tomorrow. That's the issue. So, I mean, I'll be doing the show from 1 to 3. Shoot-around's happening from 2 to 3, so I won't get over there. And then I'll do the pregame show with James tonight as well. So it's pregame show day. Yeah. James Madison. I brought this up before. I want to bring it up again. The NCAA had a chance to do something here, which I felt was easy and makes them look good. And they've done neither. They've done neither. They made it more difficult, and they did the wrong thing. James Madison made the transition from FCS, where they've been a powerhouse, to FBS. You're not allowed to go to a bowl game or be a conference champion for 2 years in the transition. Okay, I understand that. Because what happens is that you get into a scheduling conundrum with how many FBS games you can schedule. You know, a lot of people already have their schedules in advance. Can you do it? Okay. Well, it turned out they joined the Sun Belt. And that took care of a good chunk of their schedule right away. And then their non-conference schedule included Virginia, Utah State, and, yes, Bucknell. Okay. So that means on their schedule, they have 11 FBS schools and one FCS school. This week, by the way, Alabama is playing Tennessee Chattanooga. FCS school. So Alabama is going to play in the regular season 11 FBS and one FCS. Okay. Now, let's face it. Appalachian State, Coastal Carolina, some of the other teams, and those are the two teams still remaining on the regular season schedule for James Madison. That's obviously not LSU and Texas A&M and a non-conference game with Texas. I understand that. But they have played an FBS schedule and only one FCS game, and that was with Bucknell. And Dave Cicchini will be the first one to come on here and tell you how good he thinks James Madison is. And, you know, I remember I briefly brought it up to him a couple of weeks ago, and he went, oh, yeah, they're good. But here is, let's get into some of the confusion with this. And there's a lot of confusion to me with this. I know what the rule is. And if they have, for example, a second FCS game on there in the non-conference, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I can sort of see. But when they're playing the same number of FCS teams on their schedule as Alabama, Penn State, Ohio State, they're playing the same number, one. That tells me something. That tells me something. And there's going to be an argument made at some point that when it comes to Michigan, you can't do this to the Michigan players. Come on, it's all about. But yet they've had no problem telling the James Madison players no. They've had no problem telling them no. None, zero, zip, zilch. No problem. And, but, well, we can't do that to the Michigan kids. You can't, really. Meanwhile, Michigan's sitting over there. And, again, nobody has sent me a text, an email, anything telling me I've been wrong about this. And if I am, I want to be corrected. Okay? But Michigan has not once come out and denied any of this. They've denied anything. Now, they've done a lot of bob and weave, but they haven't denied anything. They've done, okay, now they're a victim. You're a victim! Wow, it's an interesting way of going about it. You're a victim. Okay. Victim of what? It's Rutgers' fault. It's Purdue's fault. It's Ohio State's fault. It's the media's fault. It's the NCAA's fault. It's the Big Ten's fault. It's the other coaches in the conference fault. It's the other athletic directors in the conference. It's their fault. It's everybody but their fault. And you can't do this to the kids. But the NCAA can do this to James Madison. They don't worry about their kids. I thought they were all about the student athlete. Now let's get to the next part. How many bowl games are there? You have bowl slots to fill. You just told one team that's undefeated right now, nope, no room at the Inn for you. I've looked at the bowl schedule. There are a lot of rooms vacant at the Inn. Okay? There are a lot of vacancy signs up. These guys could have filled it. Unbelievable. It's wrong. It's really, this is one of those where Michigan takes a while because you can sit there and you know that you have to go through the process of following the money. You have to go through the process of the video. You have to go through the process of who didn't know, who did know. Okay, there's a process they have to go through, an investigative process. James Madison, there is no investigative process. It's easy. You sit there and look at it and go, you know what? They do everything, you know, they play one FCS game and 11 FBS games. Look, let's give them a waiver. It's wrong. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What a pleasure to be with all of you today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the fabulous Sunbury Motors guarantee that really eases the buying experience because they go over every vehicle. And a service department that backs it all up from the routine to the difficult, and they need more technicians too. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And very pleased to bring in from The Athletic, Audrey Snyder. Audrey, it's always great to talk with you.
Hey, Steve. Happy Thursday.
And happy Thursday to you. All right. So it's never a dull moment. So let's get to with Mike Yurcich, no longer the offensive coordinator, and the changeover. People want to know what direction Penn State could go in at this point. Are you getting any reads from any people along the way, either within the athletic family or yourself, as to potential directions? And did I lose her? I think I lost her. There we are, Audrey. I do hear you.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sorry, I don't.
No, something dropped out. I mean, all I did was hit it on the side. It came back. No. So what direction, either from what you hear or somebody else hears, that may be in that sphere of possibility?
For sure, yeah. I've got a list of about 12 candidates up on The Athletic. You know, I think the thing to keep in mind, and you know this, Steve, when it comes especially to coordinator searches, I mean, it really could be just about anyone. You know, to me, there are a few names that make a lot of sense. One of them, of course, is Joe Moorhead at Akron, right? Like, you look at when Penn State's offense was successful under James Franklin, certainly the Moorhead era was that. Now, does he want to do this, right? Like, I think that's the question there, because no doubt about it, that's a phone call that absolutely needs to be made. But does he want to come back to Penn State as a coordinator, or is he more content in an Akron situation that, from the outside looking in, Steve, does not look like it's certainly going well? So you have that, right? And then I think the other one, Tim Kramsey at Memphis, is one that I think is kind of interesting when you look at what their offense has been able to do. Obviously, he's a Pennsylvania native from Allentown, so I do wonder about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a robust list. I think a lot of the last couple days, fans have kind of been hung up on Joe Brady and Ken Dorsey. I wouldn't read too much into that, Steve, because I think people just like the hot name, but to me, there's a reason why Joe Brady in 2019 kind of rode that hot LSU offense into the NFL, probably because he wants to be there and not in college football. I think you need to take these things into account, right? Like, it's a totally different world going from coaching in the NFL to coaching college football. It is not for everyone, and I think that's kind of the other part that fans have to keep in mind here.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not for everyone, especially in the current landscape. With NIL and transfer portals, it's not for everyone. That's why you've seen, for example, ask yourself why Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, and Jay Wright aren't coaching basketball any longer. I mean, it's okay. You have to ask that question. Were you surprised the timing of it as opposed to waiting a couple of weeks?
Yeah, to me the timing was interesting only because we haven't seen James Franklin hire somebody in the middle of the season. Like, that's been the new wrinkle here. But, I mean, I think you look at the way the offense has struggled, and I think you can look at, obviously, the Ohio State game and Michigan game on the two biggest stages. This unit fell flat, and somebody, I think, after the way the fans responded on Saturday, you know, leaving the stadium, screaming, chanting. There were some Fire Franklin chants coming from the student section. It was a bad scene. I think, honestly, James Franklin heard that, and if his mind wasn't made up at that point, I think maybe that tipped the scales. But, yeah, I mean, when you flounder on the biggest stages like that with this offense, something had to change. So I'm not surprised that they made the change. But James said, you know, kind of when you know, and there was no need to prolong that. But kind of the question that I have, and something that I reported, I spoke with their 2025 quarterback commit last night, and he kind of broached the subject and made a point that when he spoke with James Franklin, it certainly sounded like pregame Saturday that Franklin knew that he was going to part ways with Mike Yurcich. So I've got the story up this afternoon on The Athletic. There's some interesting comments in there, but it, again, raises questions about this timeline.
When you look at the styles of play of Drew, Bo Prabula, and the two known incoming recruits, as you know, I'm in the position I can't say their names. When you look at their respective styles, does that then indicate to you a style of coordinator?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see anything vastly different than what they've been doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it would be absolutely crazy if they went out and got somebody who's not going to be catering to Drew Aller's talents and his build and all those types of things. But where I think this gets interesting, Steve, is you got to remember, Bo Prabula committed to Kirk Ciarrocca. You know, Drew Aller was Mike Yurcich's guy. Jackson Smolik was Mike Yurcich's guy. So you're going to have a quarterback room with guys who were committed to various programs. And yes, of course, you know, then once the process unfolds, Prabula then ultimately, like, essentially recommits. Yurcich wanted him. Like, I get all of that. But you've got different styles of quarterback in that room, and that gets interesting. So I don't think we're going to see anything vastly different, but you got to make sure that Drew Aller is on board with whatever direction they're going, And that's going to be the storyline coming out of this weekend, because not to overshadow Rutgers, Steve, but I will. You know, that's a storyline this week for sure. But what about your coveted quarterback? Is he okay with where this thing is headed? And I think he is, but that's something that we need a definitive answer from on the record from Drew.
How interested are you to see what Penn State's offense looks like just down the stretch run here? Because you have Jawan Sider and Ty Howell as co-offensive coordinators. How interested to see as to what it looks, same personnel, but as terms of the look?
Absolutely. Very excited to see that. I mean, to me, I think we're going to get a better feel of what they ultimately maybe wanted to do coming into this year but didn't do or got away from, right? We heard so much about the Bo Prabula package. We saw it once at Maryland. We didn't see it in the two biggest games. Does that stay? I think the T formation is probably here to stay. But also, I mean, I recognize that this is a huge spot for Jawan Sider and for Ty Howell. James Franklin didn't say Wednesday night who specifically will be calling the plays. But this is a huge spot for both of these guys. These are two guys that have, you know, the respect of this coaching staff and also the guys in their meeting rooms. But, yeah, to me, I think there also might be, Steve, a little bit of freedom in terms of maybe you're playing with house money a little bit at this point because you've already lost your two biggest games, but you're still in position for a New Year's Six game. You've got two lesser-than opponents to round out the regular season. Like, if anything, this should be a team that's playing really loose at this point, especially after, you know, all that's transpired in the past week. And maybe that's what this group needs, right? Maybe last week they were a little bit too tight with all the pressure, all the eyeballs that were on State College for that game. But, yeah, at this point, I think the players also know and are keeping in mind they've got to be auditioning for whoever this next OC is too. So what they put on film really matters from here on out.
It's also Senior Day coming up. Look, running through the tunnel doesn't mean it's the last time you do it. I think the running joke I had with James when I talked to him yesterday was Sean Clifford did it three times, Sean did it twice. Okay, he didn't do it three times, but I exaggerated by one. So that doesn't mean anything. But are you still interested to see what the list does look like?
You know what? I think we'll eventually see the list. As of right now, I haven't seen one yet as a Thursday afternoon.
No.
But I don't think it matters much. And I think, you know, like, to me, that's the thing. Like, talking with Caden Wallace Wednesday night, he said he's still undecided of whether or not he will come back. I mean, he technically has a sixth year, right?
Yeah, he has a COVID year. Yeah, he has. See, that's the part that's still there for a lot of these guys. They have a COVID year. Like, for example, Curtis Jacobs. He's been essentially a four-year start. He has a COVID year. I mean, people don't, you know, that's the part that still hangs there that makes our guessing game a little more difficult.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Caden said he really hadn't given it much thought to whether or not this will be his last time, running onto the field at Beaver Stadium. But, yeah, he's one that you kind of forget about. Sal Wormley could be another guy. I mean, I know James Franklin has alluded to it before that when he's been asked about the future of the offensive line, he kind of mentioned, well, maybe we get some of these guys without naming names back next year. And that's what you have to wonder. I mean, I still think the month of December, you talk about reasons why college coaches want to leave the sport for the NFL. The month of December is crazy because you have to solidify your roster, figure out, especially with these COVID guys, who's staying and who's going, which I feel like at this point the staff probably has a pretty good handle on it. They won't say publicly, but they have a pretty good handle on it.
Yes.
But then, you know, you've got the early signing period coming. Who are you going to go after in the transfer portal? What does that look like? So, yeah, it's going to be madness. But I'm with you, Steve. The Saturday Senior Day moment, it's certainly not what it once was. And I think the other part, too, to remind fans about is Penn State, you know, has never allowed underclassmen who are seemingly going to declare they've never participated. So, for example, Saquon Barkley never had a senior day because he wasn't a senior. So I think sometimes fans see that and they'll say, oh, well, that guy didn't run out. He must be coming back.
Right.
No, don't read too much into the tunnels these days.
No, you don't do that. I do have to ask you about the James Madison situation. They have been denied the waiver for the second time. in a sport that needs bowl teams, they're telling an undefeated team no.
Yeah.
How do you look at that? Because there are going to be people that argue you can't do anything to Michigan. Think of the players. But they have no problem looking at the James Madison players and telling them no.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I'll take it a step further because I've kind of been following the James Madison stuff for a while. My brother went out of high school, went to JMU to run cross country. And at that point, they then cut a bunch of their non-revenue sports because they were paving the way for football. So right. My views on JMU are probably going to be a little skewed, a little biased because of that. But yeah, no, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, I think the whole bowl system where it is, and that's always been the whole point with the NCAA, right? I mean, we saw it here in 2012. It's what's fair to the players and what isn't, right? We're seeing it at Michigan. You're alluding to it at JMU. And it's tough, you know? And I think it also kind of maybe puts in perspective a little bit when you look at a place like Penn State, and people are understandably on edge, but you're still going to have a really good shot at a New Year's Six game.
Right.
And a lot of kids would love that opportunity, you know?
Sure.
It's just... it's so interesting how the perception of bowl season has changed over time. But yeah, that's JMU certainly is. They've been interesting to follow, Steve. I will certainly say that just from kind of following them afar. Like, that's a really fascinating fan base. Those people love them some JMU football. But yeah, it's an interesting time in college athletics, to say the least.
Because the argument is that I understand if you still have some scattered FCS programs in there, I can understand that. They only have Bucknell. Yeah, their other non-conference games include Utah State, Virginia. They're playing a full Sun Belt schedule. They're playing literally as many FCS programs at James Madison as Ohio State, Penn State, Alabama, which plays Tennessee Chattanooga this week. They're playing the same number of FBS programs as they are, and yet they're being told no. I know rules are rules, but your thoughts on because to me this was one of those you can make the ruling and everybody's you're going to look good doing it, and they won't do it.
Yeah, Steve, that's I guess that's why you and I aren't in charge, because then it would probably make a little bit too much sense, right?
I just think this is one of those where you look around the room and say, you know what? It'll be great for those kids, and we'll look good doing it. Okay. Nope, they won't do it. It's crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like that's just kind of where we're at, right? Like, that's the entire landscape. We're trying to make sense of everything and everything as it unfolds. And it's hard, you know? And like you said, if the rules are the rules, but if you can make exception to it, right? If we look at the Michigan thing, then you can make the argument of, well, what does sign stealing actually get you, right? Is it worth a touchdown a game? Obviously, there's the integrity piece. I mean, I was at the Michigan hotel last week, waiting for Jim Harbaugh to arrive, because that was the story, and we wanted to get something on the record about that. But you go back to the rules. The rules are the rules, and they're in place for a reason. Even though if sometimes in the JMU case it doesn't look like it makes a lot of sense, Steve, I'm sure someone spent way too much time coming up with these rules to then enforce them.
What was it like at the Wyndham last week? What was that scene like?
Oh, man, it was weird. It was I was there for probably like 30 minutes, and then eventually everyone got kicked out because Michigan had rented out the entire hotel. So they could kind of pull the "it's not even open to the public" card, like everybody has to get out. You've got people coming off the golf course that are baffled by like what's happening. So never got to put eyeballs on Jim Harbaugh after that. But it certainly was bizarre that State College was the focal point of the college football universe last Friday and Saturday.
What do you think of all this? Because to my knowledge, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, they have never once come out and said, "We categorically deny this happened." Right? I have not heard that. I've heard them tell everybody they're the victim. What do you think of all this?
It is one of the most bizarre stories I can ever remember following. I mean, it is just, you look at kind of one layer of it, and then you look at Connor Stallions, and the stories keep getting more bizarre, and, you know, his vacuum service and the homeowners association stuff. Like, it is an absolute, like, you could not script this. It is absolutely crazy. But yeah, you're right. I mean, again, I haven't followed it as closely as people who cover Michigan, but yes, to my understanding as well, Steve, they've never come out and said that. I did find it interesting in the post game last week, like the final minutes, I'm down on the field, and there was a Michigan player who had a, like, the whiteboard that was on the sideline, and someone had written on the whiteboard, like, don't need to cheat, or don't need to steal or cheat to win. And they were holding this board up in Penn State players' faces, and I saw that, and I'm like, well, that's kind of an admission, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just bizarre. But again, that's coming from a college age kid writing something in the heat of the moment. But yeah, I don't know what you do long term with them. Also, like, what is the long term play for Jim Harbaugh? Right? Is he back to the NFL after all of this? Yeah. Maybe, probably, it would seem, just from the outside looking in. But yeah, it's a story, Steve, that I am glad I do not have to cover on a daily basis. I can put it that way.
Yeah, I will say this, though, about the whiteboard. What are you showing that to the Penn State players for? There isn't a single Penn State player that accused them of it all week.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, just bizarre, yeah.
I mean, like, not one player even said a word about it the entire week. Why? Okay, I don't get it.
It's weird. It's kind of like the whole Michigan against the world type thing, you know?
Yeah, well... the world is reacting. All right. Thank you so much, as always. Great pleasure, Audrey. Great work, as always, and appreciate you very much.
No problem, Steve. Take care.
Thanks. Audrey Snyder. All right. Great to have her on the show today. And we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, thanks to Audrey Snyder. Next half hour, we turn our attention to high school football. Zach Schauer is going to join us. Sealands Grove advancing. Look, eventually, one by one, it does get whittled down. Sealands Grove beat Shikellamy last week. Lewisburg lost. And now we're down to Shikellamy, which means we're down to Zach Schauer. That's what happens this time of the year. Slowly but surely, it gets whittled down to one. And it's great that in the area, there still is one. And we'll talk to Zach about that in the next half hour. And the approaches on Michigan and James Madison, and Audrey's right, by the way. I mean, they were trimming back some sports to make the move to FBS. Takes time, money to do that. And that does make a difference. I mean, I can understand where she's coming from. Her brother was down there. You get personally affected by something, it makes a difference in how you feel about it. That's why I've talked about the gambling part in sports today. I said this a few years ago, that when the New Jersey case got the thumbs up from the Supreme Court, I said, what's going to happen is over time, social media, talk shows such as this, and it hasn't happened on this show. Everybody that has called this show has given great comments, respectful comments, and not only that, they may disagree with me, but there's respect on both sides, and that makes for a good show. I mean, it may not be the wild, crazy, yelling back and forth stuff, but people can disagree with me, and they know darn well I'm going to sit here and listen. Like, okay. Now, you're entitled to your opinion. I got it. If there's something factually wrong, I'll correct just on a factual basis. But I said gambling is going to cause more and more deep-seated opinions because you lost money or you won money. And when your money is there, it's your skin in the game, and it's personal.
Your home for news, AccuWeather, and sports. Celebrating 90 years of serving the Susquehanna Valley. We are WKOK Sunbury.